Okay.
Love,
I saw I charged you too much, so. Yeah. But I got all that straightened out, and it's going on too for the mulch.
You want to be empty inside. You want to be someone. Laying down your pride. You want to be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh, yeah. You want to be whole. You want to have purpose inside. You want to have virtue. Purify your mind. You wanna be set free today.
We'll just wait. Now, I'm not gonna take no money, y'all. I got the time and all that cut off, so I don't wanna be holding somebody's money, you know. Okay.
This is my this is my
I needed somebody to take care of that. I'm not sure.
This is my desire. You wanna be real. You wanna be emptied inside. And I know my heart is to feel you near. And I know my life is to do your will. Is to do your will. This is my desire.
Chris, what do you think about the heart of God?
Well, I mean, that's something I'm trying to be close to every day, you know, as just to press in and know him more and then know the love that he is and offers to the world. All that stuff's really important to me. I think that it's the key to the key fruit of mankind is love, and it is sourced from the heart of God. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, it's cool to see, you know, how the Lord is really, really working with us. And, you know, we're going to, I'm going to see what's going on with Jacob here right quick. But we're going to go right to a song, and we'll be right back. We'll talk to y'all here in 1 second. Him. Okay, I feel to stop right there. this here is kind of talking about, you know, when the Lord was getting ready to be arrested not too long after this. And he was very, very nervous, you know, when this was going on. He knew this was going to happen. He knew, I mean, the Lord already knew where this was going to happen. And it's just his human side of him was really, really kicking in. And the enemy was really, really messing with him and trying to get him to not to go to the cross, not to go through with this, not to go through dying for our sins. He didn't want him to do that because he knew what would happen. So at the time, the Lord was going through a lot of stuff. And he was talking about, you know, when also telling the disciples, when I sent the, you know, when he sent the disciples out, he told them just to take a few things, not take a whole lot of things, and that, you know, the Lord would provide for them. And I could really think, even in my case right now here with the Healing Light Ministry, we're trying to put this organization together. It's not really been a whole lot here lately because, you know, in the last couple of years we've been trying to put this organization together and just trying to build a ministry team. And at first it was just me, this show, it's all it was, but the Lord's trying to do more things with it. And we're trying to build this into an organization, and it's been kind of hard. And at times we think that we need a lot of this and not a lot of that. But the Lord just wants things simple. He wants, you know, just take what you have and just trust in the Lord. And a lot of times, anybody that's trying to start something, that's trying to start something big, you know, your human mind starts kicking in and you're like, hey, I need this and I need that. And I know this is with our own organization we're trying to start and get it set up correctly. And, you know, you think you can do things, but you can't. You've got to leave it to the Lord, because a lot of times when it's your personal matters and personal things, you're used to doing it yourself. That's the way your human self is really set up, is to do it yourself. But you're not dealing with things in physical. You're dealing with things in spiritual. Everything with a church, everything with your spiritual life, it's all done with God. It's all done with spiritual, and you got to trust in God. And when he sent these disciples out, they had a trust in God. They had no other things. They just had to trust what the Lord told them, and they had to go by the steps of what the Lord told them. And a lot of times in our walk in life, we got to go with what the Lord has taught us to do, what he has given us, what he has provided with us. And a lot of times we don't go with what the Lord has provided with us. We want this and we want that and we want that there too. But that ain't what the Lord wants us. He gives us simple things. I know there's a lot of ministers out here, when the Lord would put them on their path in their ministry, and he would say, empty your bank accounts and trust in me. He'd also tell them, don't go for any events. He said, I will send them to you. Don't advertise for anything. Don't ask for anything. A lot of them say, I will not ask to come to your church. You have to ask for me, because the Lord will send you to me if you're supposed to come to me. So that's a little different. So you're completely trusting on the Lord. And when you're completely trusting on the Lord, that's when things happen. A lot of times we've got to get out of our physicality. We've got to get out of our human mind, get out of our human mind to let the Lord work with us, to guide us, because we've got to get out of our own mindset for him to do what he needs to do with us. And if he don't do what he needs to do with us, we can go in opposite direction and make a lot of mistakes. So we've got to trust in him. And as this is going on with our ministry, we're learning to trust on him, more than ever before. And I can't tell you how many ministries I've saw, they trust in the Lord for everything. They go pray. I mean, like before they start their ministry for the year, some of the ministers will go out to the mountains or go to the beach and just be by themselves and just let the Lord soak into them, tell them what they need to do that year, what's coming this year. And folks, I'm going to tell you, some of the ministers I've been talking to has been talking about things that are going to happen. The Lord is coming, folks. I'm telling you, he's on his way. And right now it is very crucial
very crucial, folks. I'm telling you, you need to be in the Lord. You need to be strengthening your faith. You need to be, grabbing His robe, hanging on His robe, hanging on His love. And it's very crucial right now. And I'm really seeing the Lord is really building foot soldiers more than anything. He's building foot soldiers. We're trying to get people saved. We're trying to bring people into the flock. We can't wait for hot dog dinners and yard sales to bring people into church. We've got to go out and get these folks because the church has scared a lot of people away. And it wasn't Christ scaring people away. It was the enemy getting into the church and manipulating the church to destroy Christ's church. So we've got to get things right and get things going. I'm going to tell you, really start loving people and bringing people to Christ as Christ brought people to His flock. He didn't go screaming at them. He didn't go accusing them. He didn't go doing things like He showed them love. Love when nobody else showed Him love before. That's how He built his team, his team of 12, the 12 disciples. That's how He built it. He built it with love. When nobody else trusted them at all, He trusted them. He shined light into their eyes, and when He shined that light into their eyes and to their heart, they decided to follow Him. And they laid it all on the line. A lot of them gave up their families, gave up everything to follow Him. But He had something about Him that they knew there was something greater in Him than in them, and they just all decided to follow Him. Chris, what do you see in this, man?
Man, I was a little bit distracted because I was thinking about, like, just seeking the Lord. And, I was thinking about, like, the heart of God. And just, like, I was thinking about David and how he was a man after God's own heart. And I think that, him being after God's heart, it's just a quest to know the Lord and to know Him and to be about Him and just really be in relationship with Him. And I was just thinking about that scripture that says He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And that's probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible just because my whole relationship with the Lord I got a hold of that verse and just really believed that if I talk to Him, He's going to reveal Himself to me. And I think really the more you go after the Lord and the more you're sincere and genuine about it, the more you're going to understand His heart and you're going to see from the perspective that He sees from because His influence. And I think about that scripture that says, do not be or bad character corrupt or bad or whatever corrupts character, bad company corrupts character. So the opposite of that would be good company builds character, and you can't get any better company and influence on your life than the Lord. And I really believe that as you go after Him like that, that his heart is revealed and seen in you. And then I think that's such a major thing as far as fulfilling that scripture that says, as Jesus is, so are ye in this world. And because the more you know Him, the more you're going to respond and be obedient to Him. And so many scriptures come to life when you start thinking about that. The obedient will eat the good of the land. There's all kinds of scriptures that really talk about that. He says in Proverbs 8:18 that I love those that love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, and even pure gold. My yield is better than choice silver. So it's like all these scriptures talking about like the blessing and prosperity that's in Him, and really money and all that stuff, it doesn't have fulfillment, especially if you're after selfish gain and you know, you're all about yourself. I mean, that stuff just really, I don't know, there's just, to me, there's no contentment and happiness and joy in that. And I feel like I've ran after that stuff sometimes. I remember one time I was working like 70, or not 70, but probably 65 hours a week or something like that. Probably more than that. But I remember walking across the courtyard one day, and as I was walking across that courtyard at work, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Do you not know that I can give you anything that you need?" And it was a really humbling moment for me because I felt like I was just doing nothing but working. And it's kind of weird when you do that, though, because you kind of get used to it because you, I don't know, you, the first couple of weeks are really kind of hard to endure, but you start getting used to it. But the Lord was showing me that there's more to life than just running after riches and stuff like that, you know. And it just really blessed me to hear the Lord speak to me that way.
Amen. That's what's so awesome about the Lord. He humbles you very quickly, and he shows you your need for Him. And you know, a lot of times we throw our need in, you know, how we're taught as a kid. You need to provide for your family. You need to provide for this. You need to stand up for this. You need to go to the best colleges. You need to do, you need. That's what we hear. That's what we're taught. But, you know, biblically, spiritually, when you start reading the Word, God always provided that for all of His prophets, for all of His people. He always did that. And they all depend upon Him. He always came through. But there was, you know, the Israelites, when Moses was taking the Israelites through the desert and take them to the promised land, and God was providing for them for a very long time. And it happened so long that they took advantage of it, and then they started being, you know, selfish and saying, "Hey, well, won't you give us this, and won't you give us more of that? Well, you know, this bread you're sending us and this quail you're sending us, you know, we don't want to eat that no more." You know, there was a bite in the hand that was feeding them, and God wasn't too cool with that. So, you know, when God is providing, I feel there's people out there that God is providing for them, but they're not really, really understanding that God is actually doing that. They're not doing that on their own. And I'm telling you, God is doing tremendous works for you in your life, but you just don't see it. You don't understand it. But if He would pull the plug, you would see it real fast. He would pull that plug, you would fall. But the thing of it is, He don't want to pull that plug. He wants you to grow close to Him. He wants you to grow close to Him. His blessings is showering His love upon you. He's showering His love upon you. And when He's showering His love upon you, He's showing your favor, but His favor, you are in Him. He has His favor over you. And when He keeps His favor over you, that's when blessings pour in. And there's a lot of people that don't have that favor. They don't have that favor of God because they've been walking their own walk for years. And they have been running into walls. They run into this. They run into that. And I could say that with my own situation now is that, you know, I've saw God bless me many a times, and I've thanked Him for everything He's done and loved Him for it. And you know, in many different other things, I really praise Him for it. But when the fire is put underneath you, that shows who you truly are, and it kind of gets you to sit back and see what is, you know, the proof in the pudding. The proof in the pudding shows everything, and you've got to, you know, He's going to humble you. He's going to try to get you on the straight and narrow, and I'm telling you, even with our ministry, He's showing us that we're needing to follow Him. We need to see what He's going to do with us. And, you know, everything, starting with ministries and all that, it's all legalized stuff, and you're just, you know, it's very hard to do at times, you know. It's very hard to try to get everything straightened out at times, and it could be, you know, you want to bang your head on the wall because it's hard. But then that's the time you've got to really stick with the Lord and trust in Him that He's going to send the right people and right places, and that's what we're going through right now. And I'm telling you, this is going to touch y'all. If y'all are listening right now and you're going through a hard time, and you're just, you just don't know what to do, just give it to the Lord. He's going to guide you. He's going to show you where you need to go, and He's going to touch your heart at this time. Lord, I really ask You to touch these people's hearts. Reveal the way that they need to go. Reveal the doors that's going to open. Lord, I ask You to give them the courage to do what they need to do. Give them the courage what they need to do. If it's a new job, if it's a new school that they're starting, if it's, you know, if it's just, you know, meeting new friends that they've not done that before, just you know, give them encouragement to go out and meet new friends. And I really have a feeling there's a lot of people that's not, that has, don't have a whole lot of friends, but they're scared to meet new friends because they just moved from another state or something, and they're not really know anybody and all that. But the Lord is going to introduce new friends to you, and you're going to be very exciting with the way He's going to, people He's going to bring to you, and you're going to have a new horizon in your life that you never had before. I really believe this, and I'm sure the Lord is going to bless you with that. His favor is going to be upon you, and you're going to see a favor that you've never seen before. And I'm telling you, the closer you grow to the Lord, the more amazing things is going to happen to your life. I'm telling you this. And like I said, I'm seeing this in my own life. I'm seeing the Lord draw me closer to Him in many different other ways, differently than what I've had before. And I'm telling you, it's all learning. It's a learning process. We all go through this learning process. And if we think we're higher than anybody and we've got it all figured out, you're dead wrong, because we all don't have it figured out. We all don't have it figured out. We all struggle every day. We all have different situations that comes up all the time. No matter which situation we think we're in, the Lord is behind us through that. And I'm going to go ahead and hand this to Chris. Go ahead, man.
Hey, I was just thinking more about the heart of God, you know, and like the Bible says to come to us or come to Him as children, you know. And if you think of a father looking after a child, you know, he's looking after them, after their needs, their well-being, you know, make sure they're eating, and, you know, just to love and develop them in a relationship. And when you think about your spiritual walk with, I mean, there's things that it takes a father's hand to develop you into, just to know Him and grow and step out on things and take risks and trust Him and trust His leading and guiding and stuff like that. That's important to see the fatherly relationship and after you're born again and start being developed. And I mean, there's scriptures that really talk about that development too, like Hebrews, I think it's 5:13-14, talking about like moving on to maturity and having your spiritual senses exercised and by way of use and way of practice and just being with the Father. I mean, that development comes just being with Him and going after Him and seeking Him in the Bible and the Word and communication. There's like the whole, I mean, the Bible is so shapes you into that walk. It's incredible. Yeah.
It's awesome. It's just renewing the mind. And guess what, folks? We got Jacob Thailander on here. He finally got to call in. You overslept this morning. How you going? How you doing, Jacob?
I am great, and I'm sorry for not waking up, man. I had my alarm set for some reason. I don't know why. It just didn't go off. So maybe it was a p.m. instead of a.m. set by accident. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. We're sitting here this morning. We're talking about the heart of God, and we was talking, Jacob, about how, you know, we go through struggles sometimes, but we've got to keep our heart on God. We've got to let God guide us instead of us letting ourselves or getting into a frustration and trying to jump in our own thing and let God guide us is what we're talking about too. I'm going to hand this over to you,
yeah.
Jacob.
Well, I had quite the experience with the heart of God. And this was like 2 days of revelation the Lord had given me, because I had been praying for over a year about revelation on the number 444. I just kept seeing that number every seemed like everywhere I went, I kept seeing that number, and I was like, Lord, I don't know what that number means, but it's driving me crazy because I keep seeing it every day, just the number 444, and I had given up asking him, actually, about it because I just didn't know. I'd had lots of people tell me what they thought it meant and stuff, and one day I was praying, and I had this encounter with the Lord where he took me in a spirit towards that number, towards the number 444. I could see it, and I was taken towards it, and the last four got really big, and it turned into a door, and I went through it in the spirit, and I thought that was really neat. Well, the next day, I was in prayer. This was the day right after that happened. I was taken into about a 2-hour long vision, and God took me on a tour through his heart, and he showed me how when we commune with him, his heart is an actual tangible place in the spirit that we can actually visit by faith. And as I was in this vision, he began to take me through four different chambers of his heart. And they all have a different theme, and I don't have, like, tons and tons of revelation on it, so I can just share basically what the Lord showed me. But the first chamber he took me in, he said, look around and see what you can find in here. Basically, in my vision, there was this light coming out of a pond, and I just stepped over curiously to see what it was. And as I was looking towards the light, someone from behind me pushed me, and I started falling down inside of this place that I didn't know what it was. And I was holding my hands out and raking my hands down, you know, like if you actually physically are falling and you can brace yourself. My hands were out, kind of bracing myself. And as I was falling down, I was raking gemstones off the side of the walls of this place. And I heard God speak to me, and he said, look around and see what you can find in here. So I just began by faith, you know, to look around, and I began for, it was about, like I said, about maybe 2 hours, look around and explore these chambers. They were chambers of the heart of God, and the first one that I was in had all kinds of abundance in it. It had wealth. It had tennis bracelets with diamonds on it. It had rings. It had a huge, a massive square, solid piece of gold. It probably would have been worth trillions of dollars. It was massive. And I just was having an amazing time. Well, the next thing I know, I'm shifting over into a different room. And this room, that first room was amazing. And I know there's like so much to explore in that other room, but I, as I was going to the second room, I was aware of the atmosphere was different. There was a shift in the atmosphere, and there was so much joy in this second room, like I could hardly contain myself. The presence of God was so strong in that room, and I saw a banner waving in the wind, and there was a picture of a lion on it. And that lion actually started coming out of the picture of the flag. It turned into a real lion. And as it came into the existence of this room, because it was just a picture, but as it became reality, it started to laugh. The lion was laughing because it was being affected by the atmosphere of the room too. And it fell over, actually. It was laughing so hard. And I just started exploring this place, and it seemed like everywhere I went in this place, there was laughter and joy. And I came upon this huge pile up of people that had been rolling down these stairs, and they were just laughing. They were just hysterically laughing. And so I thought, wow, that looks like fun. So I went to the top of these stairs, and I lay down on the stairs, and this living water was pushing me and pushing me and pushing me down these steps, and I was laughing, and I landed on the pile of people, and it was kind of like this human conglomeration of just people all together just laughing their heads off. And so that second room was amazing, and I think I spent probably the most time in the vision in that second room. And so that's another chamber, and I believe it's a chamber of joy. And it says in the Bible that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so I don't know if any of you guys have ever had an experience where you're just all of a sudden, you don't know why, but you're just so touched by the Lord, you can't help but just laugh. And I believe you're tapping into something in the spirit when that happens. And that's an actual place in the heart of God is the chamber of joy. And so then after that, like I said, that was the most time I ever spent was in that room. The next room I went into was just me and Jesus. And it was like a romantic setting. It was a dance floor. And the Lord took me by the arm, and he began to dance with me. And we just danced. I mean, I danced. I danced and danced and danced with the Lord. I did a slow dance with him, and then I did a fast dance with him. And that was incredible. It was just took my breath away. You can imagine if you had an experience dancing with Jesus, what it would be like. And finally, the last room I went to was the size of the universe. It was the biggest, I think it was the biggest by far, room in size. And there were keyboards in there the size of a football stadium, like massive keyboards, like over 50 feet, I don't even know how many feet long, hundreds of feet long probably. And one angel could play these things. And it was a room of worship. And I could hear every kind of music conceivable, beautiful music coming out of that place. There were beats, there were synchronizations, there were fast speeds, slow speeds, melodies. It was incredible. And the Lord started to talk to me about the vision, and I just started to come into an understanding that by faith we could, because the veil's been ripped. When Jesus went to the cross, he ripped the veil, and so that we have free access into the heavenlies, and it even says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ, but it's a mystery because it also says that Christ is in us, so he's in two places, so are we. And I believe by faith that we can be in multiple places because we're actually in God, and the Bible says that God is he's in multiple places all at once. He's omnipresent. And so by faith in the Spirit, we can be in different places. So you just by faith engage the Holy Spirit, and he can actually take you to these places. But what I thought was so incredible was after the experience happened, I got up and I started to tell my wife about it. And as I told her, there's some sort of portal opened or something from heaven to earth. And I said, I'm so excited about what God's showing me about his heart. And one of the miracles that God does in my life is I'll have these tangible manifestations on my body. Shiny, sparkly things will cover my body sometimes. But I looked down, and I had never, ever in my life had so much sapphire dust all over my fingers as right after I said, I'm so excited about God's heart and what he's showing me about it and this revelation he's giving me. I looked down, and there is sapphire dust just covering my index finger and my middle finger, like a copious amount of sapphire dust. And so I know something actually happened to me in the spirit. I actually went somewhere. And so that's pretty much the revelation I have on it so far. But I've just, ever since then, I've just been engaging God by faith. And if I ever do see something that looks like wealth or something like that, then I'll know by faith, well, I'm probably in that chamber. So I believe there's four chambers of God's heart, just like there's four chambers of our heart, and that by faith we can explore each chamber, and I believe each chamber will actually create an actual harvest in our lives. The Bible says that if you're like a tree planted by still water and it bears its fruit in season. Well, I believe that's actually talking about intimacy with God. And when you're in these chambers, it will actually produce some sort of tangible harvest in the earth. And I don't know what it may be. It'll be different depending on which chamber you're in. But each chamber has a season, just like a normal tree, fruit tree or a vegetable plant would have a season. As you're in this chamber for 3 months by faith, I believe that there will be a maturing of that harvest, and then it will be finally released. So that's pretty much the experiential knowledge I have, Stan, that I could share on that subject. I appreciate you letting me share about it.
Yeah, that's awesome, Jacob. That's an awesome revelation there. And there's, you know, going to the heart of God and letting Him open His heart to you is very awesome to be able to go through that. And I think there's a lot of people that experiences this but don't really understand it. And you know, when God reveals His joy to you, you're entering into His heart chamber. He's revealing His heart to you. And a lot of Christians, they just take this as just an off thing of what the Lord, off of the grace that God has given you. But it's more to it, as you're talking about there, than what we really know. And for us to really search and go to the heart of God by faith and see what He has for us, what He wants to do for us, what He wants to change us into. And I really think that's very important. And that's awesome, Jacob. How's your ministry been going here lately, Jacob?
Well, it's been good. It's been taking on different forms. We still have the Skype fellowship, and we've all been having still just fresh new encounters every time we meet. The last time we met, we had an incredible thing happen. I know you're probably familiar with, like, interpretation of tongues.
Yeah.
We had a gentleman on there from Hong Kong this time, and one of the ladies was singing in the spirit, and he identified Mandarin. She was speaking Mandarin, and she was singing this song, and she kept singing this song in Mandarin, which she doesn't speak Mandarin, and she was saying that God was the apple of her eye, and she was saying that God is taking me up in the spirit, and that's what the man from Hong Kong was identifying. She was saying in Mandarin. So that was really exciting. And we just had a powerful time of worship. And So then I just asked him by faith. I said, well, let me sing in the spirit and see if you can identify anything. And he said he would try. And he said, well, I don't speak this dialect, but you're speaking some sort of dialect from China. He says you're speaking something from a province in China. He says, I don't know what it is, but I do know that it's Chinese. And he says, I can't interpret it for you, but I do know that much. So we had a lot of fun on that. It's more of those mysteries, you know, because a lot of times when you're speaking in tongues, wouldn't it be cool to know, like, what it is you're saying, you know? And
yeah.
So sometimes you get the privilege of having someone, you know, with you that speaks that particular language, and it's really exciting to hear what God is saying through you. So that was a real huge blessing. And but no, man, it's just been more of a season in my ministry of just going into God's heart. I mean, just engaging Him. And I just had this deep hunger. He's just been driving me. He woke me up the other day, actually, with a neat revelation about His will. And It just woke me up right out of bed, and I actually got to minister to this lady who lives in New York, and it happened because the Lord woke me up. But He was sharing with me, and it may be simple, but it's kind of profound, is that, you know, Jesus rules and reigns through us by His will from heaven on earth. And so that's how the Father, you know, lived through Jesus, was through the Father's will expressing itself through His Son, through Jesus. And it's the same for us. Is, you know, He says that His will, He's at work in us to will and to do according to His own good pleasure. So by faith, we can just know and believe that really it's Jesus, it's God the Father exercising His authority on the earth through us, ruling and reigning as a king. And we're co-ruling and reigning. And it's just, we're in such exciting times right now, because I just believe with all my heart that we're going to begin seeing such powerful manifestations of the sons of God as they engage God's heart, as they get on these deep levels of intimacy with the Father, which it's all by faith and it's all grace, so it's not like this hard thing. But as His will works in your life, I don't know if you guys have felt this before. I'm sure you have, but you'll feel this drawing away, and it talks about that in the book of Song of Solomon. There's this drawing away to your lover that happens, and that's always going to produce some sort of harvest of God's fruit in your life. And that's his will. That's his will being released on the earth. That's just as much as if Jesus was here doing that himself. And you know, you'll find yourself having a desire to pray for somebody or something like that, and they'll get healed. Well, that's Jesus ruling and reigning on the earth through your body. And it's just, it was just really neat hearing him speak to me about that, and that you know, his, just the simplicity of his will being done through our lives, and that those desires that flow out of us truly are his will. And it's not like it's just us trying to please God. No, it's the very will of God the Father being exercised through our bodies. And it's just exciting, because then you know, well, wow, that really is God's perfect will for me. Yeah, because he's putting his will in you to will and to do according to his own good pleasure. And I just understood it in a way I'd never understood before. And it was really pleasing. And it woke me up in the morning. I didn't usually get up at that time. And there was this lady that just really, really needed ministry. So I got to get on Skype and pray with her. And that was a blessing. So she got blessed. And but, yeah.
Hey, I want to say something real quick. Hey, one thing I was going to say about the love and the heart of God is I think it's important for you to realize that God loves you, and his ability to keep you and develop you is far greater than the enemy's ability to deceive you. And because he loves you like a child, is what we've been talking about. And I think that's an important revelation to kind of go after, because, like, if you're not truly grounded in some of that, I mean, one thing I learned in theology, like, years ago was that there are over 300,000 different Christian denominations. So that right there should tell you that your denomination isn't enough, you know, and so you're to go after God and all kinds of denominations and stuff. A lot of that stuff kind of gets formed, like, really with a passionate heart after the Lord. But then somewhere along the way, things aren't handed down generation to generation, or you know, somewhere it becomes diluted, and it's like a ripple effect of I mean, and that's kind of putting a negative light on development of different denominations. But anyway, if your heart is after the Lord and after his heart, it's like that you develop to the point where you're more open to a movement, where you're asking him, your constant fellowship. And with me, my goal is unbroken fellowship with the Father, and just constantly, which you know he's there all the time anyway, but when he reveals himself to you more and more, and you're walking in that reality of him, it's like, I think it starts out you believing first, though, but he reveals himself in ways that he draws you in, but it's like more and more of the reality comes with you just honoring him. It's the way I see it in my life in the past. It's just like, wow, you know, he starts getting a hold of your heart, and he starts drawing you in. And as you delight yourself in him, it's like you really become delighted in him because of his goodness and his ability to reveal himself. I mean, and the way that he responds to you, it's amazing.
Amen.
But I just wanted to say something about that, because about the heart of God, and really, I mean, like, really going after that revelation, because when you know that he loves you and you know that his ability and his will for you is to remain in him and coming after him and to see the things that he wants to show you. And I mean, because he wants more than anything just for you to be with him and to fellowship with him and to walk in him and, you know, live life unto him. And it's like, I think that's the number one thing that life is about. And as you realize that, it's like the Lord just opens more and more of himself up to you. And it can sometimes, like, really wig other people out, you know, that experience, that kind of stuff. But anyway, I just want to say that.
One thing I do want to put out is all this is experienced through the cross. When we go through the cross of Jesus, when we give our lives to the Lord Jesus, and, you know, and we're getting baptized in the water, and we die to the Lord Jesus, and then we rose again through his resurrection, it's, you know, we get to experience this stuff. And only through the cross is the only way you're going to experience it. Jacob's been saved. We've all been saved. We've all went through the cross. That is the doorway you have to go. You have to go. There's only one doorway, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only door that God put down here where we can go through this, where we can go through this, where we can experience the Father. We can only experience it through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to really, really put that out there, because I was looking down the floor and I saw a communion of a plastic thing that goes over into the show and the cross. I was really feeling pulled to talk about the cross, that the cross is the way, the only way you can experience the heart of God. And I was talking to one of my friends the other night, and he was talking about some of this goofy stuff that's going on, people saying, oh, you don't need the cross. You're already saved. You're already this. And I'm just going to tell you, folks, you need the cross. There is no other way but through Christ. You have to receive Christ. You have to ask him into your heart to see the heart of God. You have to ask him into your heart to receive salvation. You have to have this, folks. There is no other way. No matter what you've heard, you have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't, you have no way. See, that there was the life stream. He was the ladder that God threw down to give you a way to him. He was the ladder God threw down for where you'll have a way to him. There before, there was no ladder. There was no rope. There was nothing to get to God. That was cut. Adam and Eve, through Adam and Eve, that was cut off. We was cut off. Only way you had through God was, as the Jewish people had, was sacrifice and all this stuff, and they still didn't have that close connection. The presence of God would come over them, then it would leave, and that would be it. Now we've got the Holy Spirit living with inside of us through Jesus Christ, putting this inside of us. So I'm telling you, folks, only through the cross is the only way you can go through this. And once you're in Christ, you experience amazing things. Amazing things. There are some Christians that don't experience amazing things because they don't really know who they are and what they're walking in and what the Lord has put inside of them. There's gifts that's put inside of them that they have no idea what they have. And I know, Jacob, you know, you told me back in your interview back, I think, months ago, and you was talking about how you went through depression and stuff before you really realized this, and the Lord got you out of that. Can you talk about that?
How he helped me with the depression?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was one of those believers that had come to know Jesus by faith, and I was engaging the Lord in, you know, every way I knew how, every way that my denomination taught me to do, which they were a very Bible-based denomination, which was really good, and they taught you to seek the scriptures and memorize the scriptures. And so I'd done all that, and I still was struggling, though, and I still had issues with depression. That's the reality of it. And I wasn't like somebody who would be depressed without Christ. I still had the Lord, but I just needed something, you know, and I didn't know what it was. And I came across this meeting one day with these Holy Spirit filled believers, and they were experiencing holy laughter in the Spirit, you know. And I just told God by faith. I just said, "Hey, you know, Lord, if that's from you, I would really like to experience that. And, you know, the Bible says not to quench the spirit. And I think that what's happened in our modern day denominations is a lot of people, unfortunately, due to fear of people leaving their group, will to some degree quench the Holy Spirit. And I think in the area of the joy, experiencing His joy, I think that that really, for some reason, causes ministers to cower back because they're afraid. Because, you know, when people get hit with the joy of the Lord, they tend to lose control sometimes. They'll fall over, they'll fall out of their chairs, sometimes even roll around on the floor, and that can just really look indecent, you know, and so that can cause a conflict to a minister thinking, well, is that really decently and in order, you know? And so they don't know what's going on. Well, I'd never experienced this before, so, and I never had anyone even minister to me about it. I knew the scripture, the joy of the Lord is my strength, but I'd never experienced this presence to the degree to where I'd be laughing and stuff. And I just told God, honestly, I said, really, God, I could use that. I have depression. And if that's real and that's from you, because I'd been told, you know, all the ideas on how to manage my depression, you know, think on good scriptures, pray to the Lord, you know, the different ideas they had, which were, I'm not saying they were bad ideas. They were practical ideas. They just didn't help me. And nothing I did with that. I would read the Bible. I would pray, and nothing seemed to help, you know. And so this experience happened for me. And I had already been baptized in the Holy Spirit, which that also helps, too. If none of your, you know, some of your listeners have not had that experience, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith too, and God will speak through you in different languages. But that had happened to me about 3 months before that, this experience with the joy, and that had helped me a lot. A lot of power, a lot of new experiences with Jesus, falling over in His presence for the first time I'd ever experienced that, a lot of crying in His presence, feeling His deep love. But anyway, so I prayed, you know, I said, God, if that's real, and that's from you, I would like to experience that. And I got to go to this restaurant with a friend, and God, through my friend, starts to pray in tongues over my soup, which sounds really bizarre. And I just thought it was kind of funny, you know. I was like, wow, that's some sort of hocus-pocus stuff. I don't know what's going on here. And so I start to eat my soup, and I get so overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit that I just begin to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh for like 45 minutes. And it was the first time I'd ever experienced that. And ever since that day that that's happened, the Lord has started to show me how to tap into His presence in that way and to be free in that way and to drink from His rivers of pleasure. The Bible says that God has rivers of pleasure, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so by faith, it's like anything, you know, it's salvation's by faith. Learning to speak in tongues is by faith. Receiving that gift of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, however you want to describe that, it's all by faith. All these gifts are received by faith. And it says every good and perfect gift comes from God, comes from His hand. And so, you know, you just be open. That's the best way I could say, is just be open, you know, and talk to the Father. Say, Father, I want a new experience with Your joy. I want to experience Your joy. You know, You say Your joy is my strength. Well, I want to experience that. It's not enough just to know that that says that in the Bible. We have to have an experiential knowledge of Christ. That's what Paul said in his, you know, in the Word. He said, for me to live is to experience Jesus every day. That's how that's actually interpreted. And He's my life. I experience Jesus as my life every day. And that's how I live, is by His life. And, Shabbat. So that's what happened to me. And I had had, like, depression for, like, 16 years. And so that joy, you know, that joy, just, it's amazing how many it just totally changes or transforms your life. I mean, it really is incredible. And that's appropriated by faith. You know, you just learn how to experience the joy of the Lord. And it's the same way you've had other encounters with God. It's just you enter into it by faith. First, like you said, you hear about it. You know it's all by grace. You know it's all through the cross. And just by faith, you begin to engage God and ask Him for that. And He gives it. He gives. You get around people that have that joy, and they'll pray for you, and you'll maybe get a touch there or at a conference, and then it can just get exponentially stronger. And it's just that's what I believe our relationship with God does. It goes from glory to glory. It's exponentially better as we live in Christ, just more and more and more and more.
Amen, amen, amen. And it's awesome to see how you grow in the Lord. And I mean, I could just see thousands of people that they have been going to church all the half their lives, and they've not really grown. And when they see people, you know, walking in this stuff, they don't understand that, you know, back in Acts, a lot of the ministers and a lot of the disciples and all of that, they lived in this. The church growed in joy and in love, and that's just how it happened. I mean, it was like every Sunday, every day. I mean, that's just how it was, and we kind of got away from that. We feel like we've got to suffer for everything, that, you know, like in them old Catholic movies where the priest has got that thing beating themselves on the back because they said something wrong, and they're beating themselves up, you know. Gonna get 5 beats for that's what we think as Christians. We think we've got to suffer because our Lord suffered. We think we've got to suffer like Him for everything, and the Lord took that for us. He took that suffering for us, not for us to go through it, but He took it for us. He didn't say, "Well, you've got to suffer now. You've got to suffer now." Only one I ever heard Him say that to was Saul. Was Paul said Paul would have to suffer greatly to for my cause. Because if you think about what Paul did, he was killing Christians like for free. But we don't do that. That ain't something that was on us. You know, we're just regular believers. We're trying to walk in the example of Christ. Now he was a completely different situation, and people throw it on that, but he still walked in joy and love, and Christ loved him dearly and got him through a lot of things. But, you know, he took that for us. He took that pain. He took all that for us, and we don't supposed to have to experience that, which there are some Christians that have went through prosecution for their belief, and that's just this world. That's not what God has for us. That's just this world, and this world sometimes could be like that, but we still got to walk strong and firm for Christ, and we don't supposed to be experiencing even putting pain and stuff on ourselves. God don't want that. He wants us to walk in the love and the joy of Him and the Father. He wants us to experience the love. We can't experience love. How can we show love? I mean, how can we love people if we don't know nothing about it? We've never experienced. We always walk in depression and stuff all our lives. How can we show it if the Lord can't change us? And reveal Himself to us, we have no way. So the Lord has to put that love in us, show us that joy and that love. And I can even tell you from my own life, God has showed me great joy and love, how He sees other people, how He changes you. He shows you how He sees other people in love, how beautiful they are to them, how He desperately loves these people, how He wants to bring them into the fold. And then when we actually see and feel how He loves other people, we start reflecting that. We start reflecting that love. And like Jacob and them, you know, he's showing his joy to these people, showing joy to Jacob where he could reflect his joy to people. And that's awesome. I mean, I'm all for that. And it's awesome to...
Dan.
Go ahead.
What I was sitting here thinking about is like, it's all, you kind of develop into the Lord, you know, and I mean, when you learn to ride a bike, you fall, you know, and a lot of times depression and stuff like that creep in because of what you're magnifying and what you got your attention and stuff fixed on, And when you magnify the Lord, God gets big to you. You know, I mean, he is big. And when you put your focus on that, it's like the reality of it comes in, you know. It's like the more you can meditate and fix your attention and focus on that stuff, the bigger he gets over the situation. You start thinking and talking to the situation about how big your God is instead of talking to God about how big your situation is. It's a big perspective shift and change there, and you're actually plugging into that trust and to the Lord, and you know, I mean, it's good to realize too that you're gonna make mistakes. You know, just don't even get your attention focused on that, because I mean, the grace of God is so sufficient for anything you go through, and he's so much bigger than any situation that you get into. Yeah. He can completely turn it around. And I just wanted to be an encouragement in that area, because the more that you plug in and push into him and realize that, hey, you know, I'm learning to live this life with the Lord, you know, and if I miss it, hey, join the rest of the world. You know?
Yeah.
Just keep going forward and keep taking steps forward, because you're gonna grow, and the Bible says seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. So just keep going after them, and all kinds
of
things are gonna happen to you.
Oh no, I just had one more thing in my heart to share with you guys, is that, and this is something I heard another really popular minister saying, who moves in a lot of this. His name's Ian Clayton, but he's a neat man of God. But he has this understanding. I didn't know how to verbalize this understanding, but I would just say it's an experiential knowledge of Jesus, which it is. But one of the things that I've noticed that is I'm not going to say it's a problem, because then people will view this in a negative light. It's not a problem if you understand how to get past it, if that makes sense. But there's a lot of believers that are taught primarily to engage God through the Bible. And while the Bible is good, it's awesome, it's important, you should have a foundation in the scriptures, you should have a basic understanding of the gospel and what Jesus did for you, the Bible is not the primary way in which we engage God. It's supposed to be through his Spirit. We worship him in spirit and in truth, and a lot of people get so fixated on the scripture, which it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. It's good. The scripture is good. It's the word of God. It's given to us for revelation, and we can have true experiences with the living God through the scriptures. But all these new things the Lord has shown me has been as a result of a living relationship with God through engaging him in intimacy and prayer. And the early apostles, they didn't just rely on only the scriptures. They had encounters with angels. They had encounters with the Lord himself. And even Jesus said that you search the scriptures because you think there's life in them, but you don't come to me for life. And so there can be, and I don't want to say it's like negative, but there can be a fixation on the scripture to the degree to where you aren't really flourishing in your relationship with God. If it's become mechanical, if it's become rote, the Bible says these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I can remember as a child being taught to memorize Bible verses, and even as an adult believer, I knew hundreds and hundreds of scriptures. But that does not mean you're engaging with your heart an experiential reality of what the scriptures are talking about. So I'm just saying, don't miss the heart of God and fixate too much on the law. The letter says the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And so like when you're at a worship service, you're not just all quoting scripture, you're engaging God with your heart. That's the way the Lord showed me to explain it, is when you're at a worship service. So, you know, you're standing, you're engaging with your body, you're reaching out towards God by faith. And a lot of these early believers were mentored in the scriptures, but they didn't solely, they didn't even all have Bibles. A lot of them, you know, there would be an elder or a leader that would have access to some of the scriptures, and they would read them in their meetings. But they didn't, like, primarily all the time engage just the scriptures. And that's what I wanted to say, is that God is so much bigger, and I'm not saying he's extra biblical, but, I mean, it'll always agree with the Word of God, because that is his Word, but his relationship to us is personal, it's intimate, and it's dynamic, and it's real. Like I said, it's one thing to read the words, the joy of the Lord is your strength, but that's there so that you can engage and enter into the experience of the joy of the Lord. Because without that experience of the joy of the Lord, you're not going to have strength. You got to have the strength from his Holy Spirit. Another example is Jesus in the scriptures. When this woman with issue of blood touched Jesus, he said, "I felt virtue leave my body." That was an actual feeling of the power and presence of God that left Jesus' physical body. It was his power, God's power. And the Bible says the kingdom of God is not just about talk, but the demonstration of power. So there's a reality, an experiential reality to this Christian life with the power of God. And it doesn't all just come through the scriptures. I hope I did a good job of saying I love the scriptures and I'm not against them.
Amen. And I understand that because, you know, back in the disciples' times, back in the early church, you know, they had scrolls. It wasn't no books. It was all scrolls. That's what they read off of. And that's actually where our Word of God came from, was scrolls put together into a book and put together and put what they was needing to put into the Bible. But a lot of people, I mean, even in China at this time, you know, they've got thousands of believers and they come and gather and the minister preaches out of the Word and they just go on that. And I'm telling you, and they worship in the Spirit. But, you know, the Word of God is very important. We need to read it. But we got to get that scripture in our heart. We've got to get it in our being where it'll be there. And, you know, and what they'll do, it'll renew our mind. We need our mind renewed. When we fall at times, when we fall in our lives, we go to the scripture to to get us straight on the right path, because a lot of times without scripture, you can get off on the wrong path. And then the scripture is kind of like, I'll say, the guideline, you know. Well, we need to, you know, I saw a lot of people that they have got so far out of scripture that they're, you know, they're going left and right, and then the enemy jumps into it, and then he starts taking them to a completely different thing. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about people that actually, you know, they jump into scripture, and they're saying, you know, we're not experiencing the presence of God. We're just experiencing words here. And we're just going on words here. We ain't going with what the Spirit has to show us. But the Holy Spirit is a teacher too. And I can tell you with my own experiences, the Holy Spirit will give me revelations like right off a bat. You know, I'm not waiting for the Holy Spirit to give me revelations. It just happens. You know, out on the blue moon, I don't know when it's going to happen. It just happens. He'll give you revelations. Hey, you know, this is what's going on in your life. This is what God is doing in your life, or hey, this is what's going to come forward. You know, look out for this. And I mean, just things like ask, walking in the Spirit, and letting the Lord guide you. And I'm not telling you that you can have audible voice. There's some people that do. I'm not going to say that, because there might be like 20 people out there that God is walking beside and talking to them every bit of the way. There could be people out there like that, and there's some of us that is like that. But you know, God is going to talk to you at different times. If you're Holy Spirit filled and God is really working through you, he's going to indicate things to you. And it's going to be a supernatural lifestyle. And a lot of us on here have experienced this, but we don't hear God like every second just talking. to you, but he revealed to us that he's there. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I was riding down the road one day, and God was messing with me one day, let me know that he was listening to what I was saying, or listening to what I was, you know, watching what I was doing. So he repeated radio stations over and over. And it's like I'd see one thing, and all of a sudden something else would repeat it. And it just was repeating all day long that Lord was saying, hey, I'm here, I'm watching you, don't feel bad, I'm here, I'm right beside you. So he will do things to let you know that he's with you. When you least think he's not with you, he's right beside you. He's watching everything. He knows everything that's going to be said, and he's just waiting for you to go with that or to react to that. But the Lord is with you, and he is protecting you at all times when you don't think anything has happened, but he is right there. And I could tell you, you know, a lot of guys on here, you know, Jacob, I know you know the Lord's with you all the time. He's probably revealing himself to you constantly. But, you know, it's kind of unique how the Lord is always with you no matter what. And when we think he's not there is when he's there the most. And, you know, it's awesome, man.
Is it all right if we, like, pray for the viewers, the listeners?
Yeah.
I just have in my heart just to pray and thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are the God, you're the living God, and you're not like idols. You have ears and eyes and a mind and a body, and I just thank you, Father, that you are leading us into these deeper experiences with your presence, and that we can model the living God on this earth, Father. I thank you for every person that's listening right now, God, that you would give them a deep touch of your Holy Spirit and let them know you like they've never known before, God. I thank you, Father, that you've promised to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ever asked or hoped according to your Holy Spirit and your power that works inside of us, God, which is through your Spirit. And you, God, deserve all the honor and all the praise and all the glory in our lives, Father. We are your masterpieces. And I thank you, Father, that we were perfected at the cross, God. I thank you. I just thank you for your blood, Jesus. I just can see some people right now, even by faith. I'm going to speak this out. There's people right now that have been dealing with condemnation, and the Lord is going to give you a touch right now. He's going to touch you. He's going to show you his grace like you've never seen it before in your life. And he's going to remove that condemnation, because the Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's wonderful to hear that, but it's awesome to have that actual condemnation taken out of your heart. And God, I thank you right now by faith that you're doing that for those people that are listening. And I just thank you, Father, worldwide, God. I thank you for your Spirit just falling on people in new ways, God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit being poured out so that they can have power to express you through signs and wonders and healing miracles, Jesus. We thank you for your kingdom coming on this earth as it is in heaven, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you modeled that and demonstrated that by dying for us on the cross and raising from the dead. And it says in your word, God, that you are the firstborn, Lord, the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. And you said, greater works, God, will we do because you go to the Father. And we thank you, Father, that you're in us, and Jesus, that you're in us, and that you are working in us to produce your kingdom on the earth. And I just release by faith that kingdom power of the Holy Spirit to go forth, and produce that which it was sent to do, Lord. You do not return void, God. Your word, your living words do not return void. We thank you for the scriptures, God. I thank you for new, deep, living revelation of your word, God, for your people, God, that they would understand the Bible in new ways that they've never understood before, through a relational understanding of you, Jesus. And I just pray that you wake them up in the mornings and speak to their hearts, God, and show them great and mighty things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jacob, for coming on the show today, man.
Thanks for letting me come even late. That was great.
That was awesome. Amen. And we started right when I could get you on there. I kind of went to the scripture and my eyes fell on something. We was talking about how to, you know, how the Lord just takes you as you are and don't bring any of your baggage with you. He wants you to go as you are, and he supplies you with what you need. And he was kind of talking about the disciples, how he told them to go and only take a few things, and he'll supply them with what they need. And that's the heart, man. We just go and concentrate on God. He supplies you with all your needs. That's all you need is him. He wants you to depend on him. The more you depend on him, the more he showers you with gifts and stuff, and it's very awesome. But
amen.
I do want to tell everybody, we do got a conference coming up in July. It's called the Healing Light Conference. It's a Saturday, July 11th. It's going to be at 5 p.m. to 2 p.m. It's going to be at the Marketplace Church, suite 2940, off of 127 Hickory, North Carolina. And we're going to have guest Heath Adams, co-host Robert Hager, co-host Chuck McDonald is going to be there, Reverend Jacob Phillips, and myself is going to be there, and I'm going to be hosting. It's going to be a great event. We're going to have a live worship band, Robert and Erica Jordan. They're going to be leading worship. It's going to be an awesome event. We're really trying to use this event to kick off our ministry, trying to get our ministry up and going into a full ministry, and the finances from this is going to help us with that. It's going to help us to get our ministry up and going where it needs to be, and even help with the event. So I'm really encouraging people to come down to this. We're expecting the Lord to touch a lot of people. We're expecting, the Lord is really telling us that people are going to be healed and transformed of this thing. And I'm telling you, if you have any situation going on, any physical problems going on, come and expect the unexpected to happen to this thing. I mean, the Lord is really going to touch people. And it's going to be a great, great conference. And we've got other conferences coming in the future that we're planning. So just stay tuned and, enjoy his conference July 11th. And, the Lord is going to be touching folks. But like I said, I want to thank everybody, that came on the show today. Thanks, Chris, for popping in here and co-hosting with me, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Good stuff. It's been great, man. And thanks again, Jacob, for coming on here and speaking about the heart of God. That was awesome what you had to speak about.
Yeah, bless you guys. Thanks for inviting me.
It was very awesome. And maybe some other time, Jacob, we'll have you on here in the future. And
amen.
And we'll talk about another different topic. And it's always interesting about your revelations. Your revelations is pretty cool and really eye opening to really let us know what God, what about all different types of parts of God, and what God has for us. And that's always exciting to hear about that. And to give us a broad understanding about things. It's awesome with prophecies like that. But we're going to go ahead and shut down the show. And, we're going to come back on here Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And, this Wednesday we kind of took a break. We had a lot of things going on. And we just took a break this Wednesday night, and we will be back this Wednesday night at 8 p.m. God bless every one of y'all, and y'all have a blessed weekend.
Awesome.
Calmed and broken for my